Who's got it better than us?
Nobody! Your home for the best sports coverage in Utah. You're listening to Jake Scott and Ben Anderson on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Jake and Ben, 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone. I want to remind you to nominate the youth sports volunteer you know for the Hercules Hero of the Week. Submit your nomination at kslsports.com/contest. And listen, every Thursday afternoon to JJ and Alex for the winner. Help us celebrate the efforts of those volunteers making an impact with the Hercules Hero of the Week, sponsored by Hercules Credit Union. Ben, let's get out to the zone phone. Our next guest, of course, does a terrific job on KJazz and Jazz Plus. He is a legendary member of the Utah Jazz, not to mention, Ben, a national freaking champion at NC State. He's the one and only Thurl Bailey. Big T, what's going on?
I like that title. I might start using that, a national freaking champion. I like it a lot.
How about the leading scorer of the national freaking championship game?
Yeah.
For the winning team, Big T Thurl.
Yeah, now I'm bragging. If I use that, I'm bragging. But I still like it.
You know what, Thurl? So I was talking to David Locke before the game. We saw you in the tunnel.
I'm sorry.
And Locke had, a 14-year-old, 15-year-old kid job shadowing him. And we said, that's Thurl Bailey. He played in arguably the most famous college basketball game of all time. I mean, I guess when you think of the most famous college basketball games of all time, you can help us settle this debate because you were in one of them. I mean, that is up there with, the two or three most famous ever, right?
Well, yeah, and it's not even coming from me. I think Sports Illustrated quoted that. Basically, they said it was the most exciting finish of any sport in the 20th century. So it's up there, right? I mean, it depends on, I was a part of it. So, it's going to be at the very top of my list. But I would even say outsiders looking in who know about the game, who know about the journey for the most part, because the game was one thing, right? But to get there was just as crazy. Game after game, something just happened to put us in the right position to win, and we did it. So if you know the story, I think you would feel that way as well.
Okay, so speaking of the story, I've got to ask you about this, and I'll apologize because I'm sure you've told this story a million times, but until I heard you explain it, I watched Jim Valvano running around looking for somebody to hug, like, what is going on? I mean, like, he's the coach, like, hug the man. And then I heard you tell the story. So I've got to ask you to tell the story of why that happened.
Well, the story is that, first of all, people don't understand this, but when we met Coach Valvano, he was the most unorthodox coach of his time, I think. I mean, we had practices where all we did was cut the nets down and just practice how it would be, how we would visualize winning a national championship, what we would do if that happened. And we thought it was the craziest thing that he could even imagine. But we did it often. And, about the third or fourth time, we're getting into it, we're celebrating. So it was more to him about getting out of your comfort zone and what will you do, as he put it, when we win a national championship. And so he got into this rhythm as we won game after game of the first thing he would do is run out and hug Derek Wittenberg. They would find each other and hug each other. And so it became kind of a ritual, if you will. And then we won a national championship and the crowd rushes the floor and Jimmy Valvano's running around looking for Derek Wittenberg, and he's not there. And so he's kind of – everybody's hugging somebody else. So he didn't know kind of where to go. I think he found this pile of cheerleaders that he just kind of jumped in. But it was pandemonium, and I think he was just trying to find his ground on who he could run to first, and just happened to be just a pile of people. But that was – again, that's part of the iconic video, other than Lorenzo Charles dunking it in, it's Jim Valvano running around looking for somebody to hug.
All right, Thurl, do you recognize, is it yearly, is it every few years, teams that kind of capture that same magic you guys had in the tournament? Like, is that a good strategy for winning the NCAA tournament, and can you see teams doing that year in and year out, or is that fluky and not something you can bet on?
Well, I think it's actually more likely to happen nowadays than it did back then. And listen, it's not easy to do. There's so many great teams out there. I think the playing field may be, I won't even say balanced, but more realistic because of transfer portal, you know, NIL, all that stuff that players jump from college to college. And I don't know. I just think that the way that it happened for us was kind of unadulterated basketball. You play because it's, you know, you got a scholarship. Most of those guys, you know, I know I probably wouldn't have gone to college if it hadn't been for basketball. So I think nowadays there's a story, there's a team that starts out every single tournament that just does something incredible, and people like to gravitate towards that kind of story. But most often than not, the best teams win, right? The strongest teams win. So I look at NC State and what they're doing now, and it just reminds me, it's so reminiscent of what we did. But to get all the way there, it's so difficult. The odds are obviously not in your favor. The stars have to align. Teams have to lose. You just have to hit your stride at the right time. So it's still there. I mean, everybody's looking for that underdog, that incredible story. So I'm hoping it's a team like NC State again this year.
Now, I asked this question tongue-in-cheek, but the basketball community here in Utah is somewhat small, and so I'm curious, every time you bumped into Dave Rose, did you remind him about the game? I mean, like,
no.
Just so you know.
No, I never brought it up.
Never?
Yeah, I never. No, I'm not that kind of guy. Look, I see Hakeem Olajuwon, I see Clyde Drexler on occasion, and, you know, I'm not the kind of guy who's going to rub it in. And they get it, right? I mean, those guys have gone on to become great players. Dave Rose went on to become a great coach. I'm hoping they bring it up. So, but,
oh, man, Thurl, you're
but
the
no,
best.
I'm not gonna...
I'd bring it up all the time.
Oh, I would have brought it up. You beat Michael Jordan 2 out of 3 times in college, right? I would have brought that up every chance I got.
Well, you know, some things don't even need to be talked about, right? I mean, like, I've seen Michael since. Matter of fact, he used to have a place out here in Utah, and I would see him on occasion, and he would look at me, and because he fouled out in the ACC championship game that sent us to the NCAAs, and he looked at me and said, you know that wasn't a foul, right? There was an iconic moment where, you know, he fouled out in the game, and they won it the year before we did. So that's all a part of that great journey, man. You know, all those great players have gone on to do great things, and of course, I had a great career in the NBA, but I'm still on a text chat with my NC State guys. Where we're just phones just buzzing right now because of what NC State's doing. But no, you know, those guys understand. They were part of a great history, and even past the game, the legacy that Coach Valvano left. I think what Clyde Drexler always says: "Hey, look, if we don't lose that game, you don't get to know Jimmy V like you got to know him." So he was even kind of proud in a way to be part of that history and legacy of the great Jim Valvano.
All right, Thurl, we opened the show talking about the Utah Jazz and kind of that the hard part for fans is they don't know what the plan is exactly. And I actually think part of that is the strength of the team, which is they are just trying to remain versatile and adaptable to whatever the landscape of the NBA presents over the next 24 months. So let me ask you, in the next 2 seasons, 24 months, which I know is an eternity in the NBA now, like what do you think happens with the Utah Jazz? Is it just youth development? Is it an investment or trades in veteran players? Like what does your gut tell you? What's the sense you get?
Well, without knowing the plan myself, I'd say all those things, right? I mean, I try to put myself in a player's shoes because I was one. And you know there is a plan, And it hasn't necessarily been laid out in front of you. You know there is a direction that you're going in. And I'm not even sure Danny Ainge and Justin Zanuck know, you know, I don't know if they could sit you down in a room and say, here, this is exactly what the plan is. You know, I think they've been in the business long enough to know that there are opportunities that come up that you have to look at. So it's probably always moving pieces. And understanding that, you can understand the direction, though, that this team is going in, right? I mean, when you decide to not sign Kelly Olynyk and you trade him, that's a big piece of the now, right? I mean, Jazz were on a pretty good streak, and he was kind of a big part of that. But they were looking at the future. You know that much. So you have to go out and try to achieve, if you will, Hardy, try to win with the team that you're giving, knowing that it's a process with the young guys and developing them. And you're going to see, well, you know, we know Lowry's probably going to be a big piece here. What else do we need? What else do we need? What else are we looking for? So, you know, I'm kind of in the same boat as everybody else, right? I know being in this business long enough that Danny Ainge has been successful in what he has done in that position. So part of this is you got to trust him. You got to be patient. You got to trust them. You know what they're trying to build. And, you know, it's kind of like construction, right? You might complain all you want that the road is horrible. When it gets fixed, you're like, oh, okay, this is nice. And so, you know, that's what we have to do. We don't know how long it's going to take because we don't know some of the things that could happen over the course of the next 2 years. So that's really all I can give you. I mean, I'm just as in the dark as you guys, but I understand that there is change. There is a process to get to that point. I look at other teams who've done it and are now reaping the benefits of it.
Oh man, Thurl, the selection committee was mean to you. The Wolfpack, Marquette. You spent the last several years rooting for Marquette. This is a bizarrely personal game for you.
It is. It's a house divided. You know, my son played 2 years under Wojo there, and I gotta stay with my pack. Marquette's Shaka Smart's done a great job with that team, and it's going to be a tough game. I like my guys because, you know, DJ Burns is a guy who has solidified himself as a guy who can handle himself in the post and pass, but it's going to be a good game. You know, I think my Wolfpack will pull it out in the end, but it's not going to be it'll be a close one.
Go Wolfpack. What a story that would be. I mean, 5 wins in 5 days in the ACC tournament, then beating North Carolina, now in the Sweet 16. I mean, that would be special. So I'm cheering for it. Thurl, thank you so much.
Thanks,
for coming
Thurl.
On with us. We really appreciate it. You're absolutely the best.
Anytime, guys. Anytime.
Thanks, Big T. That's the man himself, the legend.
Thurl Bailey.
NCAA champion, Thurl Big T Bailey. Ben, do you realize that not only did the West region that year, then we're talking about the 1983 tournament, the semifinals and the finals of the region that year were played in Ogden. So Thurl, his Sweet 16 and regional final that year with NC State was in Ogden. Not only that, but they beat Utah in the Sweet 16,
yep,
75-56, and then beat UVA 63-62.
Yeah, that was the win over Utah, with all due respect, was their only blowout of their entire run.
Everything else was close.
Conference tournament, Wake Forest, North Carolina, Virginia, all extremely close games. Double overtime in the opening round of the playoffs, or of the NCAA tournament, to beat Pepperdine. 71-70 over UNLV. Yeah, 75-56 over the Utes. And then 63-62 over Virginia again. 67-60 over Georgia. And then, of course, the buzzer beater to win the national title. Like, by the skin of their teeth, over and over and over. But all that matters is that you win.
Utah was a 10 seed that year, Ben? And they had upset two teams to get there. Illinois, the 7 seed, and then UCLA, the 2 seed.
Yeah, 18-14 on the season.
How about that?
Who was on that roster? Pace Mannion.
My guy.
Yeah.
Shout out to Pace, who's back in town, by the way.
Oh, Manny Hendricks was on that team, too? That's funny.
Man, so cool. And so cool that that Thurl is a member of, not only a member of our community, but so accessible to talk about it. What a resource. That's so fun. Big thanks to Big T for jumping on with us. And, of course, I love Big T on the K-Jazz broadcast. He's great.
Like you said, you know, the next 2 years for the Utah Jazz, it's hard to, I bet it's really hard for the players to figure out what's going on. And I think that's actually where a lot of the trauma for Jazz fans comes from, because they identify with players more than they do the front office, obviously, even though it's funny, the players are more, I don't want to say disposable, but they come and go more often than front office members do. But you see the players every day. You fall in love with the players. You don't fall in love with the GMs generally. So when it doesn't seem like there's, you know, stable footing for the players, I think it makes the fans feel unstable as well.
Well, there's not.
There's not stable footing. No, there's not at all.
There's not. So, I mean, what, do you want to be lied to?
Right. No,
Will Hardy put it plainly after the, I think, Houston game, where he said, listen, any minute you get on the NBA court, you better be busting it, because
everyone's watching and you don't know what your next spot is.
He wasn't saying that just as a general philosophy. He's saying that about his team.
Yeah, absolutely.
That there isn't a player guaranteed to be on this team in 3 years. Not one.
Nope. Oh, 18 months.
So you're saying, oh, the fans don't feel stability because the players don't? Well, that's because there's not any.
Yeah.
It's not like John and Carl are on the team and 28 years old, and you're like, well, these guys are going to be here for another 10 years. Lowry's your best bet to be on the team in 3 years, and that's certainly not 100%.
No, by any means. I mean, again, the Jazz were had the best record in the NBA at this point 3 years ago. One of those players is still on the roster. One of them.
And listen, the team is conflicted on this because their actions and their message don't meet. And maybe that's where the fan
frustration... I think that is a lot of it as well.
Where it comes from, because the franchise actions are what we're talking about, where, like, yeah, they could cut the whole team tomorrow. They don't care. I mean, like, that's reality, and that's how their behavior is. But then their message is...
Believe in us.
Fall in love with Keyonte George.
Yeah.
Fall in love with this jersey. Fall in love with the clinic. Fall in love with these players. You know, fall in love with this team because they're great, and we know they're great, and they're going to be great, and all this stuff, which they don't even believe, but that has to be their messaging.
Right.
In Detroit, I'm sure they've been selling these young players that don't amount to anything forever. They probably knew they were never going to be on the team. Or maybe Detroit's a bad example. Maybe they thought they were going to be great. But you know what? Outside of Cade Cunningham and apparently Simone Fontecchio, ain't nobody going to be on that team.
I wouldn't be surprised if Cade was available this summer. Yeah, in all honesty, like, that's what happens. The number one overall pick that 2 years ago was the rookie of the year and the guy could easily be available, if not this summer, by the trade deadline.
Right. So, yeah, I guess you can forgive fans for feeling a lack of stability if that's really how it's going. I don't know. But, yeah, it's not very stable. They have to sell that it's stable because they're in the business of selling.
Yeah.
I mean, they
correct.
They're selling everything.
Yeah.
That's the point of being here. But their actions don't necessarily meet with their messaging. But that's true across sports. That's true across business. I mean, teams that are businesses that are laying off tons of employees, Ben, what's their message publicly?
Things are good.
Things are good. These are just some maneuvering to best set us up for this and this and that, right? Even though it's like, well, if you could have kept those employees, I'm guessing you would.
You would have. I don't think you would have fired them on
purpose.
What
was the latest I heard? And far be it for me to question somebody's corporate strategy, but was it Macy's that I heard was closing like 200 stores? Or might have been one of the dollar stores. I can't remember which one it was. They're like, oh, yeah, but this is actually better because we're closing these stores and this store, and this is going to set us up for this. And it's like, I don't know.
Doesn't sound good, actually.
It doesn't. It doesn't sound like things are going that well. Yeah, but we're going to strategically fire all these people because we can't afford it. Because things are actually good. But whatever.
Fun to talk to Thurl. Nice of him to jump on.
So nice.
Yeah.
All right, we've got What You Got Wednesday, and at least the sports part is inspired by Thurl Bailey. So stay tuned for that. Let's hope it goes better. It's Jake and Ben, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Whether it's the Jazz, Utes, Cougars, or Aggies, These guys have got you covered.
Time to eat, fellas.
You're locked on to Jake Scott and Ben Anderson.
1, 2, 3, move it.
On 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
What you got Wednesday here on Jake and Ben, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Jake Scott, Ben Anderson. If you're new to the show, we do 2 5 selection drafts, one sports related, one not. And you can have the first pick. I don't even want to relive last week's whatever. I don't care.
How did it go? Do we have the results on last week's?
Pretty sure you destroyed him in both.
It was a protest for Jake. All right, I've got the number one overall. No, you got it. I won, so you get the number one overall pick. What are our drafts today, Sarah?
All right, so our sports draft is top 5 best Tobacco Road basketball players. So okay. Players from North Carolina schools.
College basketball in North Carolina.
UNC, Duke, NC State, Wake Forest. Okay.
UNC Asheville. UNC Wilmington.
Who was that huge kid who played for UNC Asheville a couple years ago?
UNC Charlotte. I don't know.
There was a huge kid who played there. It was just, anyways.
If you're giving, there is an obvious number one pick in this.
There is.
But the rest of the draft, I think, is going to be very interesting.
Yeah, this one might be a good one to have first and third. Because the third pick, I don't know, do you think there's an obvious number two?
I do.
Okay. I think so, too.
But I'm going to go with Michael Jordan. For the second week in a row, I'm drafting Michael Jordan.
decent pick, MJ. Yeah. Somewhat ironically, probably most people would say not the best player in North Carolina history, but like, it's Michael Jordan.
He's the best player.
He's the best player.
Who would say he's not the best player in North Carolina
I mean,
history?
You argued last week because I picked LeBron as number two and you said MJ's not a GOAT. Anyways, we'll move on from that. Number two, I think it's Tim Duncan, right? Is that the obvious choice? Tim Duncan was unreal at Wake Forest, was a guy that teams were tanking for even in the 90s. Mr. Tim Duncan from Wake Forest.
Yeah.
No question.
That's
pretty
cut and dry.
Was awesome in college. Was even better in the NBA.
Is there an obvious third in your opinion?
No, this is actually where it gets pretty wide open and subjective. And even then you have to start picking like, oh, name value versus actual best player.
Yeah. I think it's pretty obvious, actually. Chris Paul.
Okay. Interesting. I have Chris Paul 5 on my board.
Okay.
Grant Hill. Grant Hill was a better college player,
He was a great college player, but he's not a Hall of Famer. Chris Paul is a Hall of Famer.
Is Grant Hill not in the Hall of Fame?
No. Why would he be in the NBA Hall of Fame? He never did anything in the NBA.
Because they did weird stuff like that. Because the NBA has the worst Hall of Fame. He is in the Hall of Fame.
In the NBA
He's
Hall
in
of
the
Fame?
Basketball. There's no NBA
or
Hall of Fame. He is in the Basketball
Hall
of Fame.
Well, I mean, his college career was incredible.
7-time All-Star, 5-time All-NBA, Rookie of the Year, Grant Hill.
But Chris Paul has had the far better NBA career. Listen, you're talking to a guy who I had Grant Hill feelers when I was in junior high school. I was a huge Grant Hill fan. But if we're talking about best basketball players to play college in North Carolina, I think Chris Paul is probably a better basketball player overall than Grant Hill.
He's had a better NBA career. I think Grant was a better college player.
Well, yeah, Chris Paul choked in the NCAA tournament.
Punched Julius Hodge in the groin.
You going to take Julius Hodge?
No, I will not.
All right, so you're going with...
Hill.
With Grant Hill. All right. I'm going to go with... I don't know if this is too early for this guy. Probably. I'm going to go with Sheed.
Oh, okay. Rasheed Wallace. Bad dude.
Who was NBA champion. Great in college.
Tim Duncan's my favorite basketball player of all time. Sheed's up there. Sheed was so fun to watch. Very ahead of his time. Would have been a much better player even now. They would have relaxed on the weed stuff. So it wouldn't have marked him the way it did early in his life. And like his stretch 4-5, he would have been a 5 today, or just a huge 4, which is fine. who was a great defensive player. Like, yeah, love Sheed. Got out in transition. Love Rasheed Wallace. All right, I'll... I can't take people who everybody hates. That's my
sure
problem.
Sure you can. Everybody hates everyone from Duke.
You know what? I'll go with James Worthy. Big game, James.
That's a great pick.
Yeah. Also on those NC teams that that won a title.
I probably should have taken James over Sheed. I was kind of debating those two in my mind. On that, I mean, similar note, I'm going to go Kenny Smith.
Oh, the Jet. Okay.
Two-time NBA champion, college champion, Kenny Smith.
All right, mine. This is pretty easy for me. He honestly is the best college basketball player I've ever seen. And I hate to say this because he sucked in the NBA. Tyler Hansbrough.
Oh, that was a reach.
Tyler Hansbrough is legitimately the best college basketball player of our lifetime.
Oh, that's...
Didn't he win three National Players of the Year?
Crazy. I don't know. Did he win three? I have no idea.
I mean,
I wouldn't even have thought of Tyler Hansbrough.
Real at North Carolina. He was unbelievable. I hate Tyler Hansbrough. Most UNC fans will tell you he was better than Michael Jordan. He was so unbelievably good in college.
That's obviously a ridiculous take. What number am I on here, Sarah? Is this five or four for me?
Five.
This is number five. I'm going to take Big T.
Daryl Bailey, okay.
I'm going to take Big T Bailey. National champion in college. Great NBA career. Daryl Big T Bailey.
Really quickly, Tyler Hansbrough. Won a title. Three-time, or was 2008 National Player of the Year. Four-time consensus All-American. ACC Player of the Year. All ACC tournament player. Just like unreal.
Yeah, you can find that resume with a lot of players, though. I don't know about you. Just called him like the best college player of all time.
He's the best college player of my lifetime that I've seen. From freshman season to senior season, no question. All right, number
he's not
five.
Better than Grant Hill, your previous.
He was a better college player than Grant Hill.
Oh, that's crazy.
That's David Thompson.
Sheer madness.
Give me David Thompson, who had the best freshman season maybe of any player I've ever seen. And I didn't see him, but David Thompson's freshman season, I don't know if he got hurt his second year or what happened. He averaged like 35 points a game. It was in the tournament. It was like crazy. But his freshman season at NC State, 24.5 points, 8 rebounds, and then just kept getting better every year.
All right. Review?
All right, Jake, you had 1 Michael Jordan, 2 Chris Paul, 3 Rasheed Wallace, 4 Kenny Smith, and 5 Thurl Bailey. Ben, you had 1 Tim Duncan, 2 Grant Hill, 3 James Worthy, 4 Tyler Hansbrough, and 5 David Thomas.
Thompson.
I think you had me till your last two picks.
No Christian Laettner, which is obviously a huge miss. Christian Laettner was an unbelievable college player.
He was?
Christian Laettner?
I said he was?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, he was.
Yes, yeah. Man, a lot of names.
He was on the dream team.
Danny Ferry. Unreal. Yeah. How good Danny Ferry was.
I almost took Zion.
Okay, yeah, Zion would have been a good pick. Didn't play long enough, probably.
Transcending college player, though.
Yeah.
Could have taken Kyrie.
I mean, there was a string of Duke point guards, yeah. I mean, that was the position on the planet. It's where you wanted to be.
All right, that was Ben's. Did we do mine? We did. All right. What is our not sports topic today?
So we're doing top 5 best friendships in movies. And we're talking like duos, not like groups.
Oh,
duos.
Okay, no groups.
Duos.
Oh, boy. Well, that limits it.
No,
not
it does
really.
Not.
No, it doesn't.
It does not. What are you talking about? I have the first pick here.
Yep.
Wow. Good question. Let's see. I'm going to go with, this is totally my generation. I'm going to go with Bill and Ted.
Okay, yeah, it's a good one. I didn't have them on my list. I love Bill and Ted. That first movie is great.
It is great.
It's so funny. I've told you I really like
Keanu.
I'm pro Keanu.
This was his best role and best movie. When they're introducing the historical figures to Bill's parents, that might be the funniest scene in cinema, where he's like, this is Bob Genghis Khan.
Yeah.
And Socrates Johnson.
Yeah. There, it's hilarious.
Ridiculous. And then he can't think of a name for Abraham Lincoln. He's just like, Abraham Lincoln.
give me Maverick and Goose. It's kind of the most our listenership. It's probably not the first one that jumped out to me, but as I was racking my brain and kind of putting these together.
You didn't like...
It's the partnership.
The original or the remake?
I loved the remake. It's better than the original, and the original's good. I do like the original. I love the remake. And it's not a remake, it's a sequel.
Reboot.
A reboot.
All right. Maverick and Goose, then. I'm going to go with Han Solo and Chewbacca.
Yeah, that's a good one. Gotta have it. I mean, that's the duo, right? That's the partnership in that movie. Kind of is the whole crux of that movie, actually. It's kind of the fun aspect that keeps that thing moving along.
And like everybody's favorite characters.
All right, I'm going to go with Andy Dufresne and Red. Prison pals. And then they meet up after prison. We don't know what happens, but they go and work on a boat together on the beach or something.
Such an overrated movie.
I agree with you. That partnership is what carries that movie, though. That friendship, their chemistry together makes that movie feel like it's this great, grand movie because they are so good with one another.
All right, my next one. It's not even my favorite friendship in this movie or these movies per se, but it is the headliner, Frodo and Sam.
Okay.
I prefer Merry and Pippin, but nobody knows who that is.
They're
so
fun. They're funnier.
I'm going to go with Frodo and Sam.
Yeah.
But Sam's the ultimate best friend.
Fine, but Frodo is so annoying in both movies and books that Sam should have left Frodo for dead like 10 times.
I'm going to go with... I don't even like this movie either, but I love this friendship, and I think he's the best part of the movie. Give me Forrest Gump and Lieutenant Dan.
All right.
I love that give and take.
I do like that.
I love the give and take there. I get it. It's an epic.
You don't like Forrest Gump?
I don't like Forrest Gump. But
Ben's worst take ever.
Lieutenant Dan is so good. It really kind of put Gary Sinise on the map. Like, he was a guy, but, like, he was Gary Sinise, and then he did Apollo 13, was awesome. But, like, give me Forrest and Lieutenant Dan.
How many do I have, Sarah?
You have two left.
Two left.
This is your fourth.
I feel like I've got to dip into the kids genre.
Okay.
At some point on my list, and I'm trying to decide which one and whether to do it now.
Okay.
Timon and Pumbaa.
Yeah, that was the number one on my board. That was the very first friendship I thought of when I thought of friends.
Timon and Pumbaa.
Yep. I have it number one overall on my...
Why didn't you take it number one?
You got to play votes here. You really got to go with some votes.
He didn't think I was going to take it.
All right. Okay, I'm going to go here. No, I'm going to save that one for fifth. I'm going to go with Harry and Lloyd from Dumb and Dumber, which I've told you people think that's you and I. Because you're blonde and I'm brunette and we are morons.
Yeah.
So we are Harry and Lloyd from Dumb and Dumber. Just two idiots pushing each other in the wrong direction constantly.
Next Halloween,
yeah,
I expect you guys to come dressed.
Oh, we should convince KSL to do a whole photo shoot of us in those suits. We can go to the Devereaux Mansion where they shot it.
Yeah, right.
We can recreate the entire thing.
Right around the block. I'm going to stay in the kids' lane. Woody and Buzz.
Mm. Okay. Yeah, that's A+.
I mean, it shows you where I am in life, but...
That's a great partnership. That's an iconic partnership.
Woody and Buzz.
Yeah. I couldn't do too much Tom Hanks.
Otherwise, I'll tell you what I was doing.
Otherwise, I could have gone Turner and Hooch. I'll finish mine off. I'm going to go with... this one's not going to get me many votes, but it is a great partnership. Jules and Vincent in Pulp Fiction. Vince Vega, Jules. It's awesome.
You just had to go niche.
I mean, it's like the biggest movie of the 90s, but it's so good. I mean, it made Sam Jackson's career. It revived John Travolta's career.
Unfortunately, yeah.
But like, that was awesome. They were great together. Their chemistry was awesome. Funny. There was, you know, conflict. They were buddies.
I almost picked...
Do you want the movies? We'll give you the movies for these two, Sarah, so you can put them in if you don't know them.
I almost picked Thelma and Louise, but I hate that movie so much.
I love that movie.
Of course.
Yeah, that movie's awesome.
It's not, though.
It's really good.
It's Forrest Gump.
What? Forrest Gump is a way better movie than Thelma
and
Louise.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Fully disagree. Fully disagree. Thelma and Louise is great.
It's not, though.
Yeah, it's really good. You want to recap?
All right, Jake, you had Bill and Ted at one, Han Solo and Chewbacca at two, three was Frodo and Sam, four was Timon and Pumbaa, and five, Woody and Buzz Lightyear. Ben, you had one, Maverick and Goose, two, Andy Dufresne and Red, three, Forrest Gump and Lieutenant Dan, four, Harry and Lloyd, and five, Jules and Vincent.
Some obvious ones we missed.
Like what?
Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid.
All right.
Tubbs and Crockett, even though there's only one Miami Vice movie, and it's more of a TV show. There's a handful out there. Maybe we'll let Hans and Scotty pick. I wouldn't be surprised if they want to get in on this because this is right up their alley.
You know what I thought that I didn't think it'd give me any votes, but Robin Hood and Little John.
Robin Hood and Little John are good. You could do Robin Hood and Azeem. What's his name?
From
Prince of Thieves.
Yeah.
You could also do, I just had a good one. Oh, Rocky and Apollo, right?
How about Cole Trickle and whoever Bob Duvall's character was named in Days of Thunder?
Yeah.
Or isn't that one of the you haven't seen, Days of Thunder?
I haven't seen Days of Thunder. You could do Ricky Bobby and John C. Reilly in the racing movie.
But that's not even their most favorite famous duo, right?
No, it's not. Yeah, you could do Step Brothers.
Step Brothers there if you're going with those two actors. All right, that was interesting. We'll get it up online. Stay tuned.
You could
tuned.
Do Sam and Humphrey Bogart in Casablanca.
More next, 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
The sports you love, the teams you can't live without.
Get a sense of urgency!
This is Jake Scott and Ben Anderson on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
If you're listening, whoa!
Jake and Ben, 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone, want to remind you about Peach Doors and Windows, Utah's premier door and window retailer, combining beauty and technology on doors and windows since 1993. Call them today for your free in-home estimate, 801-566-1255. We're getting some suggestions on what we may have missed for best friend duos.
You know what Sarah and I talked about? There's not a lot of great female duos, but there are more female groups. They do like bridesmaids and bigger groups, and I know that's about Kristen Wiig and... what's her name? Who was also on SNL for so long? Can't think of her name. But regardless,
like the Cheetah Girls.
Yeah, it's like
the Clueless
Sisterhood
Girls.
Of the Traveling Pants. You know what I mean? Like we do groups of women. We don't generally do two.
I was trying to think of a girl and a boy, and the best one I could come up with was Thomas J. and Veda in My Girl.
Maya Rudolph, by the way. Yeah, it's a good one. Harry and Hermione.
Oh, yeah, but then there's the weird
Ron
thing.
There's
so,
that
yeah.
big creep Ron that's always floating around.
Okay, Colton suggests twins. That would have been a good one with Arnold and Danny DeVito. Andrew has a bunch of them. Wayne and Garth, Shrek and Donkey.
Wayne and Garth is good. Yeah, Shrek and Donkey. Good.
Batman and Robin.
Batman and Robin's kind of a duo.
Cheech and Chong.
Okay.
And Lilo and Stitch.
Okay.
That's a good one.
The kids' world has a lot of them, like Moana and Maui.
And that one features a girl. Lilo, notoriously.
Anna and Elsa, although they're sisters, they're not friends.
Yeah, I said the same thing about Parent Trap, you know, but they're twins.
Yeah, so that doesn't count. It was friends.
Billy and Stu from the first Scream movie, they're serial killers. Spoiler alert, but.
Never saw that movie.
That's good.
Nah. Hard pass. And plus, okay, Thelma and Louise, I'm not taking advice from you anyway.
Okay.
Don't like Forrest Gump, but love Thelma and Louise?
Yeah. I didn't say I love Thelma and Louise. I said it's very good.
But it's not.
I still can't get over the Forrest Gump.
I know. See,
hate.
Either you can just throw everything else in the garbage. Yep. All right. Stay tuned. Anson Scotty, you're coming up next. Jake and Ben, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.